Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, and we'll be glad to address your question or offer direction for the difficult, frustrating issues of real life. Sometimes we just need a safety valve. Call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive, and he has come to give his life to each and every one of us, and we experience this new life through the new covenant. So as we enter into a new year, it's always wonderful to talk about this new covenant that we live in. And it's a lot different than the old covenant. The old covenant had merit, it had purpose, but when you compare the old covenant to the new, there's really no comparison whatsoever. No. It's like comparing the moon to the sun. There's no comparison, especially, you know, in the early morning light when the sun is bright on that eastern horizon, and the moon is still up there, but it's just you can barely see it. That's how it compares. That's how the old compares to the new, as far as what Jesus has brought into being through his shed blood on the cross. Now, the writer of Hebrews talks about the old in comparison to the new, and he says this: the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. So the old covenant, that covenant that God made with the people of Israel, with Moses as the mediator and given those Ten Commandments and all the ceremonial laws and the sacrificial system and all of that, that had a purpose, but it was only a shadow. It wasn't the real thing. It was just a shadow of the realities that were coming in Christ Jesus. Now, so many of us, so many believers, still worship the shadow. They still live, you know, underneath that shadow. Well, it's time to come out and experience the reality. Life's too short. Life's too short to try to, you know, give it all and be all and just strive and struggle and all of those sort of things, trying to get God to love us, when in this new covenant, that statement has been clearly made. God loves us. It's been demonstrated in Jesus. He took away our sins. He's alive. He's living in us. He is with us forever. That love is made sure in this new covenant. It's time to experience the real thing. Come out of the shadows. Let's experience all that Christ has for us in this new covenant.
Yes, indeed. And again, this is Basic Gospel with open lines at 844-32-BASIC. Want to hear from you. That's why we are live, so that you can partake of the broadcast, participate in the broadcast, and pose your question or your particular issue. We'd love to discuss it with you on this edition. So give us a call quickly if you can, 844-32-BASIC. In the meantime, this is a really good down in the trenches where life is lived every day question from Mark in Lexington, Kentucky. He writes that he is a believer in the resurrected Jesus and then goes on to say, I've been diagnosed to be bipolar and have been on tobacco for many years. It seems to me to be an outlet for my anxieties by calming my nerves. I'm afraid to quit and have the withdrawals because of a possible episode of mania or depression. Will God have mercy on me for my addiction in the end? Because I don't know if I'll ever be able to completely get off of nicotine.
Well, God is a merciful God, and yes, he's already had mercy on him, and that mercy was clearly seen at the cross. I mean, that's really the mercy seat of God right there, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the fact that Jesus, on purpose, chose to take all of the punishment that you and I deserved. If that's not mercy, I don't know what is. Right. And then he's raised from the dead to give us life, and now we live by grace. I mean, that's the answer to this question.
Yes. So mercy and grace, they're you know, hand in glove,
yes,
you know, as far as the realities in our lives, but they're a little different. Mercy is God withholding from us what we genuinely deserve, and that's punishment. And grace is giving to us what we do not deserve, and that is forgiveness and life.
Yes.
And so in Christ, we have both of those. God has withheld the punishment, not because he's sweeping it under a carpet or choosing to ignore it. He dealt with it once and for all in Christ, and that's what we talked about here at the beginning of the broadcast, that Christ's sacrifice took away our sins once and for all. So punishment has been dealt with, and because the punishment has been dealt with, now God can give us life. That's grace. That's what grace is, God making us alive together with Christ Jesus. So if somebody has come to Christ, they've received both mercy and grace. Now, we think about habits, and we think about cigarette smoke and those sort of things, and he really identified the problem. I'm afraid to quit.
Yes, he's self-medicating.
That's right. He's self-medicating because the nicotine calms his nerves down. There's anxiety. There's underlying anxiety. And it would be helpful if he could sit down with somebody and talk about those underlying anxieties. The nicotine just masks all that. It helps him function on a day-to-day basis. But the gospel can surface all those underlying anxieties, the real issues that are going on, and can give a person hope. You don't have to stick on nicotine just to, you know, be able to go through every single day. Jesus Christ does have an answer. He is alive, and we can count on him. It's a process. There's no magic wand. I think that's what so many people are looking for in life, is a magic wand.
Yes.
I mean, we are definitely a microwave society. We want instant gratification, instant pleasure, instant relief, all of those sort of things. But that's not how this new life in Christ works. It's a process. We're made alive together with Christ. That is a forever, eternal transaction. Once we're alive, we can never go back to death. Our death has been conquered.
Yes.
Once and for all. Now it's a matter of our minds starting to catch up with what the Spirit has done for us in Christ. That's the renewing of the mind. It's a process. Every day we're involved in that process. We define that process here at Basic Gospel as hearing the good news of Jesus, believing, being fully persuaded in your mind that what Christ has done for us is actually true in our case, and then learning to live that out. That is the discipleship process. That is the process of renewing our mind that brings about transformation. Sometimes that process seems incredibly slow. Other times it seems to move at a very rapid pace. But over time we just see that it's kind of a steady growth in Christ. So our invitation to our listeners, to those involved in this ministry, is to get engaged in this process. Wherever you are, let the gospel meet you right where you are. Mm-hmm. You may be in the pits like this particular gentleman. Well, the gospel has an answer for you right there. It can insert hope, inject hope into that darkness, and you can experience some relief inside and be compelled to take a step down this path of new life in Christ. Maybe you've been a Christian for many, many years and you're restless because you think there's more purpose out there for you. Well, the gospel will meet you right there and show you what your real purpose in life is all about. So wherever you are in that journey, engage in this process of hearing the message. You know, Lifeway Research recently came up with a statistic that 56% of self-identified Christians believe that their good works are important in the salvation.
Yeah.
So they have rewritten what the Bible says, that we are saved by grace through faith with good works.
Yeah, they've added that.
They've added the good works to the thing. Good works isn't in that equation. It's not in that formula. It is by grace through faith, period. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's how we're saved. So 56% of believers out there haven't heard that message.
Yeah.
they've heard something and it's gone through this legalistic filter and it's come out good works. So that's what they're banking on, their good works. Well, if you're banking on good works, I'm just here to tell you, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
This is by grace through faith. So we need to hear that message. Do I really understand what's being communicated in the Word of God and what the Spirit of God is bringing to my heart and mind? And then we ask the question, do we really believe it? Do I really believe that Jesus took away my sins, that his death satisfied the punishment that I justly deserved, that he actually stood in my shoes and took the wrath of God in my... Do I believe that? Do I believe that in that process, my sins were forgiven? All of them, not just some of them, but all of them. Am I fully persuaded? If I'm not fully persuaded, then I'm going to bring my good works back to the table. You know, God, I know you shed your blood, but I want to hedge my bet, and I want to make sure that I do what I think I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And with that, you never know if you're forgiven or not. So we need to be challenged to think through it and come to that point where we're fully persuaded. And once we're fully persuaded, then we can live it out. You know, if I think God is still judging me and requiring of me something before I can experience forgiveness, that's exactly how I'm going to treat others.
Yep.
I'm going to require of them something before I will extend grace and mercy. Well, you're just redefining what grace and mercy is. God gives that with no strings
yes.
attached. It's a one-way love, so to speak. So when we hear what it really is, what the gospel really is, when we have come to that point where we're fully persuaded, then we can live it out. And that's when Christianity just blows you away. It's like, I never dreamed that there was a life that was this amazing, this exciting, this adventuresome as what I have in Christ Jesus. So engage in this process of hearing and believing and living out the good news. Let the gospel meet you where you are, wherever that is, right now. Let the gospel meet you, bring hope into your present situation, and then encourage you to move down this path of hearing, believing, and living.
And with that in mind, friends, if you have ever wondered if Jesus Christ has any relevance in your life, if he cares about you personally, your marriage, your family, your vocation, well, these are very, very important and I think very penetrating questions that we have, many of us deal with. These are things that we'll talk about at the Hear It, Believe It, Live It tour beginning March 7th at Valley Church in Vacaville, California, there in Northern California. Information and registration is available online at the Events tab at basicgospel.net. You can make your life a good news story. You can do that by beginning to by joining us on March 7th at Valley Church in Vacaville for the tour. That's the first stop on the Hear It, Believe It, Live It tour, and we want you to be a part of it. Again, information available at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. That's 844-41-BASIC as well.
Yes, indeed, and sign up. Go ahead and register today. It's inexpensive. There should be no reason that you cannot come and be a part of this. We've already had some registrations. The church out there, I think it seats, you know, up to 400 people. We want a full house.
Yeah.
Come join us. Bring some friends. If you have folks that are struggling with Christianity, this is a perfect opportunity to bring them and expose them to the good news of Jesus Christ. If you know folks that are struggling in their Christian experience, they're allowing legalism to rule and reign in their day-to-day existence, bring them so they can have a taste of freedom. They can know what this Christian life is really supposed to be like. So this is a great opportunity. And for you, if you're looking for encouragement, if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for some like-minded fellowship, this is a perfect opportunity.
Absolutely.
So don't miss out on this event, March 7th at Valley Church in beautiful Vacaville, California. It's centrally located to our listenership out there. So we hope to have a full house and we will just thoroughly enjoy meeting you, shaking your hand, hearing your story, and just being more involved in your life as you can be more involved in ours.
Looking forward to meeting so many of our friends in Northern California.
We're going to go to New Jersey and talk with Mark, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for your service here to the Lord and the forum that, that we have here. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you, Mark. We appreciate those kind words.
Thank you very much. I had a question regarding the term that's in a few different spots, a few different pieces of Scripture in the Bible. Termed as fallen asleep in Christ.
Okay.
It's found in a few spots. The first one that I have that I've noticed is in 1 Corinthians 15:6.
Yes.
And I just wonder if you could clarify. Again, it is in a few different spots throughout the Bible, and I was just wondering if you could clarify the term.
Okay. Well, it's just a term that means death for a believer. Okay. So when we die, we're basically falling asleep in Christ,
yes.
Because death has really no hold over us. These bodies are going to go into a casket, but we've been given life everlasting, and we've been given the assurance that we're going to get brand new bodies. So instead of calling it death, as the lost world would, and they would look at
right.
that without hope, the writers of the New Testament, the apostles, moved by the Holy Spirit, described it simply as falling asleep in Christ.
Okay, great.
Does that make sense to you, Mark?
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome. Excellent question. Appreciate you calling today.
Time on the clock and open lines, 844-32-BASIC. Again, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. We got time to do it, so call now, 844-322-2742.
Yeah, I remember when my dad passed away. It was a sudden event. Mm-hmm. Nobody expected it. He just got up early one morning and was walking down the hallway and just collapsed and died.
Yeah.
And I was out here in Dallas. Mom and Dad were living in Marietta, Georgia. And so I went back, and we went to the funeral home, and they opened up the casket and saw his body. And it just he had fallen asleep in Christ. You knew that was his body, but he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. He was absent from that body and present with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it means. And knowing that truth gives those of us in the family looking at this corpse a sense of hope, a sense of relief. And we don't grieve like the heathen do, as the Word of God has to say. Why? Because we see death in a completely different light. Jesus Christ conquered death. I mean, death is the great enemy. Death has always been the enemy. And all throughout the Word of God, we see that God has told us that he has power over death. I think that's one of the great lessons that we learn from Genesis 22, Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac. We always think of that in terms of obedience. Wow, wasn't Abraham a man of God? But the New Testament writers spin it a completely different way. They talk about it in terms of resurrection, that Abraham received Isaac back from the dead, so to speak. And what is that a metaphor about? It's about this resurrection life that we have in Christ. Jesus Christ conquered death once and for all. And because he conquered death, he's conquered death for us, and we simply fall asleep in Christ.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I love 1 Corinthians 15. I mean, the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15 is sort of the theme verse for our ministry, the gospel. But that gospel is explained throughout that whole very long chapter solely in terms of resurrection and victory. And it's so exciting. You know, don't try to tear the chapter apart little bits at a time. Read the whole thing for what it is, and this ringing endorsement of what we have in the gospel.
I never forget. I was going to a church when I first moved to Dallas, and I was single at the time, so I chose this church for its singles department. They had a really robust and active group of singles, and mm-hmm. I was going there really for the social aspects of it. Mm-hmm. I'm admitting that on national radio, and there's a lot of folks that, you know, attend churches for exactly that that particular reason. But the guy that headed it up, the pastor, he was a good teacher, but he was very professor-like. There was not a lot of emotion. And I remember him going through 1 Corinthians 15, and it's the most exciting chapter in the Bible. I mean, it's just oozing with victory and with, you know, you just want to stand up and shout from the rooftops that Jesus is alive. And he gets to the end of it, and he's just in such low-keyed voice, and, you know, who gives us the victory but Jesus Christ himself, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory. And I'm like, come on, man, this is exciting stuff. This is life. This doesn't get any better than this. And I didn't attend that church very long after that. Oh, my.
Yeah, let me pose a question from Phil, who writes to us. He says, I have hung up on the Bema seat. I guess if you're going to be hung up, that's a pretty good place to be. Will all believers and non-believers stand in front of God, and will God give a reward for the things we accomplish, like getting people saved? In the Bible, it says, I did this in your name and did signs and wonders, and then God says, I never knew you. So, will people say in heaven, I did more than you, or will I get rewards, get more rewards than others? Kind of a comparison there. Please help me understand the Bema seat.
Well, it's interesting that they try to make a connection to that passage in Matthew 7, where Jesus is talking about false prophets. And he says, beware of false prophets. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. And the false prophets are going to stand before God, and they're going to argue.
Yeah, look at all this stuff.
Yeah, look what I've done. So they're going to build their case for eternal life on their good works. I've cast out demons. I've done this. I've done that. Look what I have done. So the emphasis is on them and not on Jesus. And so Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. They had no interest in Jesus. They had a self-interest, period, end of story. So that's about salvation, and it's about false prophets and those who reject Christ, those who reject the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. All that they have left to argue is their good works, and they're hoping that God is going to see that their good works have outweighed their bad works. Well, it doesn't work that way. God doesn't grade on the curve. He just doesn't do that. Now, as far as rewards, the Bema seat or Bema seat, that's a completely different thing. That's a judgment of believers about their works. And it basically gets down to this. What was the source of the works that flowed out of you? If they were fleshly works, they're just going to burn up. That's it.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone. But if they were done through faith in Jesus, if Jesus was the source of those works and we simply lived out what he was working in, there's rewards for those. Well, what are we going to do with those rewards? We're going to put them at the feet of Jesus. It's just as simple as that. Why? Because all glory, honor, and praise go to him. Worthy is the Lamb, not us.
Yeah.
And that's the scene that we see depicted in the book of Revelation.
Yes.
All of God's creation, all of God's people bowing down to Jesus, worshiping him. He's the one that brought us life. He's the one that deserves our honor and praise and worship.
Amen and amen.
Yes.
I like that. You know, friends, Basic Gospel has made it, if the ministry has made a difference in your life, you can probably offer up a prayer of thanksgiving to God for moving the hearts and lives of others who have made it possible for you to hear the good news of the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ. You know, it's true. Someone else gave to support Basic Gospel so that you could hear. Now that you've heard, we ask you to please prayerfully consider what our Lord would have you do to support this message and this ministry so that others can hear. We ask you to join us today if you can. You'll find a support link in the menu at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 844-41-BASIC, 844-41-BASIC. The full number, of course, 844-412-2742. And may God richly bless and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel. Well, that's our time today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.